This is WJBC This Week.
Quite frankly, I don't remember making this post.
The best thing he could have done was just to back away from that, because nothing that you can say in response to that is ever going to come out right.
Bloomington is looking to talk about some transportation projects, one being the Hamilton Road expansion, but also the Main Street Road project.
The Mid-States Football League is a very competitive 11-man league. It's actually rated as one of the top semi-pro leagues actually in the United States.
Welcome to WJBC This Week, where we take a look back at the top stories and interviews from the past week. On the program this week, Bloomington mayoral candidate Kevin Lauer found himself in some hot water after a Facebook post he made in 2014 was called racially charged. The president of the local NAACP offers reaction to that comment. EDC CEO Kyle Hamm speaks about the annual One Boys trip to Washington, D.C., which was this week, and one of the owners of the semi-pro football team called the Twin City Jets speaks about his team. That and more coming up. This is WJBC This Week. Welcome back to WJBC This Week. Local officials made their annual One Voice trip to Washington, D.C. this week to speak with the area's congressional delegation and advocate for business and projects in McLean County. Economic Development Council CEO Kyle Hamm spoke with WJBC's Mark Strauss to preview the trip.
Hey, tell me what this trip is all about and what you're trying to accomplish.
So we, Economic Development Council, organizes an annual trip to Washington, D.C. to meet with our local legislators, our congressmen and our U.S. senators. But we also meet with agency heads to talk about things that are going on in our community, but also to build that pipeline between the federal government and our community. So it's a chance to network, but also to talk about things that are important to us here in McLean County.
Do you have some items targeted that specifically you want to try to address while you're there?
Yeah, we are taking a few projects that are sort of front and center. Bloomington is looking to talk about some transportation projects, one being the Hamilton Road expansion, but also the Main Street Road project. We're also talking about workforce. We have a workforce initiative through our Chamber of Commerce, as well as a STEM initiative that's focused on talent attraction through our EDC. We're also going to be talking to criminal justice about the mental health and some of the issues we have with our jail here in McLean County.
You've got quite a group of people going with you, including, I think, both mayors, Terry Renner and Chris Koos. Who else is on the trip?
Yes, we've got about 35 individuals that represent a broad section of our community. We do have both mayors going, but we have council members from both Bloomington Normal. We have the county board chairman and some representatives from the county. We have people that represent education, labor, and a broad section of our business community. So about 35 individuals that are our leaders in our community that are going to help us network and cast a broad net over Washington, D.C. over the next 3 days.
Now, these projects that you mentioned, the Hamilton Road extension and the Main Street work, what kind of money do you feel like you need to get from Washington in order to achieve what you want?
Well, we're not really sure at this point. I mean, this year is unique with the change of administration, and President Trump has mentioned numerous times about large-scale infrastructure spending. And so we're going to go out there and talk about some of the projects that need some work and figure out where, the budget and where some of those other items for grants and funding might come. Again, a lot of these agencies are just getting their agency heads placed. And so we're really going to be doing some fact finding over the next few days.
This isn't the first time you've made this trip either, is it?
No, personally for me with McLean County, this will be my third trip, but the community has done this, I think, somewhere around 12 years now with a great amount of success for projects over the years. So it's starting to pay dividends, and we believe that being out there on a regular basis, allows us to be front and center as a community.
What are some of the successes that you've had with this trip in the past, not only yourself, but in the 12 previous years dating back before you attended this trip?
Sure. Well, I think probably the largest project you can point to was Uptown Station. A significant amount of funding came back for that project, which allowed to build the city hall there, but also the train station, which is one of the largest used Amtrak stations in Illinois, but in the Midwest. And so it's a vital part of our community, that Uptown station. We've also received grants and funding over the last several years for mental health. So those are just two front and center examples that have been out there, and projects that take time. I mean, when you go to D.C., it's not like you just come back with a check. These are relationships that have to be built up over years, and really talk to them about why certain things are important to your community.
Have you and the president or anybody from your traveling party ever crossed paths with the president before?
I believe there's a few in our delegation that have attended the inauguration that were supporters of the president. I personally have not crossed paths with them yet, but, you know, we'll see what happens when we get to D.C. You never know. Currently not on our plans to meet with him, but we are meeting with some of the Illinois delegation and both of our U.S. senators. So we're looking forward to the trip.
Yeah, I think according to the Pantograph this morning, one of the topics of discussion when you meet with Senators Duckworth and Durbin and Representative Davis and LaHood is about the soccer fields over at the airport.
Yeah, so there's a deadline for at the end of the year for the soccer fields, the community soccer fields that are part of the airport space out here. And so we're going to be talking to our legislators to see if we can get the FAA to do an extension for a period of time. We don't know how long that would be, but a period of time to allow the use of that soccer facility for a period of time and, you know, see if there's a long-term solution on how we look at soccer in our community.
How long will you be there?
We will be out there. We're leaving today, Tuesday. We'll be out there till Friday evening.
Is it all work and no play?
It is. The bulk of our day is work. Literally from about 8 in the morning till 5 or 6 in the evening is meetings and with delegation. But we do have a chance at the evening to go to dinner together and network a little bit. So not much time to sightsee and all that, but we will have time to enjoy each other's company and do a little networking.
And I imagine that sending a bigger group like this, people from different areas of city government and area government with different areas of expertise, is advantageous as opposed to just you and the two mayors going.
It really is. You know, we've got CEOs and business leaders from the community that are in the banking industries, some that represent, you know, our larger employers in the community. And so we have a very diverse group of folks. We've got people that are in education and labor. So it's a really good representation of our community to have that many folks go out all at once.
Economic Development Council CEO Kyle Hamm with our own Mark Strauss. Illinois continues to operate without a budget. State Representative Dan Brady spoke with our own Scott Laughlin to provide an update on what's happening in Springfield and more.
Somebody needs to figure out how much money state and local municipalities are losing due to the Goliath Amazon and others like Amazon. People are buying. Now, in Amazon, we are paying state sales tax. But I live in Bloomington. They're not getting any of it.
No. I mean, there's been legislation proposed for tax on internet sales.
For years.
Years in Springfield.
And nationally. It's been brought up on the national level. When are they going to wake up and see that or is that just the way it is? It's supply and demand. How things work.
Well, I believe that the companies have been very successful through the lobbying efforts and other means to be able to keep any type of legislation affecting them not having a physical presence within Illinois, being able to dodge paying taxes that our local brick-and-mortar shops and mom-and-pop shops, if you will, pay here in the state of Illinois. Why that legislation hasn't advanced, other than to say that it's been very vigorously opposed by the companies and the corporations and the lobbyists that worked for those individuals. But the bill has not advanced to the point where it's been to at least the House floor or the Senate, as far as I know, for any type of vote. And there's been proposals for years dealing with trying to have a tax for the fair share of what the state of Illinois loses in revenue. Not to mention the municipalities, but what the state loses.
Right. And also in the businesses, because if you know that you're doing, I know of one family that knows they do a ton of business in the state of Illinois. So they went ahead and set up their business in Missouri, because if they have the location here, you have to be taxed an Illinois shopper.
So if you have a brick and mortar in the state.
There's no reason, no incentive to even open the business. So I wouldn't imagine that's happening in all states. So if that happened nationally, would that make it easier for each state to then look at that same opportunity? Like if we said nationally we were going to take that
on? It could. But I think from the national side, you know, they want to leave it to states. And so my answer is that it's been vigorously opposed, that's how they capture more of the market, is by obviously not having to pass on to the consumer who's online shopping a tax. Well, and that's everybody loses as far as those out there. And it's not a level playing field to those who pay the taxes, obviously, with the businesses here in Illinois.
Here you guys are working on a budget. You're trying to find money here or there, looking for, you know, revenue and or taxes, where you've got some people, and rightfully so, say, well, you know what? You need to spend less money, number one. And then, you know, everybody wants cuts until the cuts come. You need to
Affects them.
Yeah. Right. You need to spend less money. Mm-hmm. You need to generate revenue. Mm-hmm. But again, have your office work on this. How much money, somebody's figured this out, is the state of Illinois losing, just the state, on online sales?
You know what?
So you've got to get it somewhere.
Dara is filling in this week, so this would be a good week for
her. She listening? Yes, Dara
Brockmeyer? It'd be a good week for her to work. Little project for her, I'll say, brought to you by Scott and Patty. Something for you to do there, Dara.
As I like to say, I want that on my desk by the end of the day.
I'm just thinking what kind of one answer I would get. Anyway, go ahead.
So, the budget, you know, are we going to, who's going to pass a budget first? The federal government or the state of Illinois?
Well,
let's put some money on it. I like to gamble when it comes to stuff like this. We'll send you down to the vending machine, anything you want down there.
I have no doubt before the end of May, Speaker Madigan will propose and pass out of the House of Representatives his budget, the budget of the majority party. As we are in negotiations now and in Appropriations Committee, starting on what was Governor Rauner's proposed FY18 budget, especially with if there's pieces of what was the grand bargain in the Senate that are resurrected and used for anything in the House, the Speaker will, like he has in the last couple of years during this turmoil, has proposed a budget and believes that that budget, minus any of those reforms from Governor Rauner, is a budget, and that the House has done their job in proposing a budget. I believe that that's exactly what he will do. The big question is,
what would be balanced?
Well, not only balanced, but the bigger question is, what common ground could be found between the Republicans in the House and the Democrats in the House for a true budget that Governor Rauner might have something to do with in the way of not vetoing that? And so therein lies the challenge, not to mention the FY17 supplemental appropriation budget money that we have to get out the door. As I said this in your last show, last time I was here last month, the appropriation for FY17, there needs to be reappropriate to get money out the door. Where that stopgap budget ended December 31st, we have to now have a supplemental really before there's even an FY18 budget passed. And so that's as critical as anything else right now. Just into higher ed, I think about $836 million our universities or 96 universities are looking for in a reapprop for FY17. So obviously that's very concerning. Those are the issues we're amongst other things, but those are the main issues budget-wise that we're dealing with in Springfield right now.
State Representative Dan Brady with Scott Lonquin. there's a new 11-man semi-pro football team that plays in Chenoa. WJBC's Mark Strauss spoke with Rob Buchanan, one of the owners of the Twin City Jets.
They're an 11-man semi-pro football team. You may remember the old Twin City Dogs that went out of business a few years ago. Well, he's resurrecting a new team in the Mid-States Football League. Hi, Rob. How are you?
Oh, how are you doing today?
Very good. Tell me a little bit about the Twin City Jets. You're going to play over at the old Chenoa High School in Chenoa. Tell me a little bit about the Mid-States Football League and your team. What's in store?
The Mid-States Football League is a very competitive 11-man league. It's actually rated as one of the top semi-pro leagues actually in the United States. We've got a team in our league called the Lincoln White Patriots that actually just won the semi-pro national championship. And it's got all kinds of players that play in the league that have actually had, you know, college experience, that have played, have been in NFL training camps, and have quite a bit of experience.
Anybody we'd recognize?
Yeah. Well, at one time a few years ago, Juice Williams actually played for one of the teams in our league.
Is that right?
The old Illinois quarterback.
Sure.
Yep.
Yeah. I do think I remember that because Peoria had a team, and I believe he played for them or against them, if my memory serves correct.
I think he played against them. They were the Chicago Mustangs is the team he played for. I think Juice Williams actually came to Peoria and played against them.
Yeah. So who have you got locally? A lot of times these teams rely on local athletes, people who've played in local high schools and colleges. Anybody that we would recognize?
As of right now, there's a few guys that are playing with us. I don't know if you remember who Matt Coster was. He was a quarterback for Lewiston. We actually just joined the team a few days ago, so we actually ended up picking him up because I know he was pretty good there a few years ago in high school, and he's actually played semi-pro a few years after that as well. A lot of local guys that might not be as recognizable. I think we got one of the Carroll brothers. He's playing with us, LaRon Carroll. And then we've got a lot of Normal West guys and Normal Community and Bloomington, just kind of a mix of all three schools joining us. We've also got guys coming from far away from Champaign and Springfield and some Peoria as well.
Well, if you've got Matt Coster from Lewiston, you should be able to throw the ball. He was pretty good.
I would think so. I know he hasn't played in a couple of years. If we get him out to practice and stuff and knock some of the rust off a little bit, he'll probably get right back into it and riding a bike.
Now it looks like there are 14 teams in the league this year. You've got teams in Milwaukee, Racine, Rockton, Quad City. There's four teams in Chicago. Of course, the Twin City Jets, a number of other teams. Lincoln Way, you already mentioned them. And the old team that you used to coach was an 8-man team. What made you decide to try to field an 11-man team?
We just felt like with some of the things that were going on in the 8-man league, we decided that we wanted to try to jump up to 11-man and face some little bit better competition. I know a lot of guys were itching to play 11-man again, and between St. Louis and Kankakee, we're the only 11-man team in Illinois between those two cities.
Is it hard to convince guys to come out of retirement and take the hard knocks on the field again?
Sometimes. A lot of guys in our league, they just play for the love of the game because our players aren't paid. So a lot of guys that play just play for the love of the game.
How long is the schedule? How many games do you play?
Right now we're going to play 8 regular season games and one preseason game.
And when does the season start?
The first preseason game is May 27th against a team called the Chicago Colts up in Chenoa. And the game, that game will start at 5, but all of our regular season home games start at 7 up there.
Why Chenoa? Why play at Chenoa?
With Chenoa and stuff, we wanted the Twin City Dogs played up there, and we were able to talk with the city and get a pretty good partnership going with them and some of the JFL teams up there. And so we thought that would probably be the best opportunity for us right now as we're getting started up.
We're speaking with Rob Buchanan. He is the coach and organizer of the Twin City Jets of the Mid-States Football League, who will play their inaugural season here coming up starting in May. And Rob, tell me, what kind of following do these teams have? What kind of attendance are you hoping for?
It really depends. The more advertisement that we're able to get out there, and the more we let people know we're playing, the better attendance we'll have. I mean, there's the one team in our league called the Racine Raiders that they're able to get 2,000 to 3,000 people every home game. Because they got a huge following up there, and you got other teams that, you know, maybe bring a few hundred. So the better advertisement and the more word of mouth, the better we can let people know and get people out to the games.
On what days do you play most of your games?
Saturday nights are when our games take place.
What about some of the other teams in the league? Which ones are the best established teams, longest established in the league?
I would say the Chicago Thunder, they've been around for quite a while. They've been around since the early 2000s. Actually, before that, they've been around since the 90s. You got the Lincoln Way Patriots. I think they're right around 10 years old or so, and they're pretty organized. And you got a team called the Rockton Rush that they're pretty organized. Those, I think, are the three longest have the most experience. There's other teams that have been around for just a few years, but those three are the best established teams, I would say.
Do you charge admission for your games?
Yes, it's $5 for adults, and anybody that's in JFL, they get in for free with a paying adult.
All right, and again, your season starts when?
May 27th at 5:00 against the Chicago Colts in Chenoa.
And that's at the old Chenoa High School. And for more information about the Jets, you can go to their website, TwinCityJetsFootball.com. And the Mid-State Football League is also linked, I believe, from your website. Is that not correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Rob Buchanan speaking with Mark Strauss. Today's local news is next. This is WJBC This Week. Welcome back to WJBC This Week. Bloomington mayoral candidate and Ward 1 alderman Kevin Lauer found himself on the hot seat this week after a Facebook post made in 2014 was called racially charged. He spoke about the issue with our own Scott Laughlin.
Would you like to set this up, or do you want me to?
Go ahead and talk about it. Quite frankly, I don't remember making this post, and I don't remember being in this particular group. I think probably what this was, Scott, was something that came up across my timeline, and I made a sarcastic remark to the fellow that made the post, and that's all it was really intended to be. But go ahead.
All right.
Well, I'm going to start with the fact that we were reached out to by somebody that said that they saw this. So I want to make it clear that when we get those calls, we typically will look into the information. And at that point, all we do is report the facts. And in a situation like this, like Scott said, we're always going to reach out to someone like you because you have every right to respond to it, especially when, Scott, we both said this is from 2014.
Mm-hmm. All right. So, and this all comes from a Facebook website, Bloomington Deserves Better Than Kevin Lauer. Obviously, somebody has they don't want you to be the next mayor. So they're going to do some digging. And they found this.
Sure.
On a website, it was called it's still called the Marcus Garvey Society. It's a public group. It was created by someone named J.X. Pershing. Do you know J.X. Pershing?
No, I don't, which is not uncommon. I have a lot of people that are on my Facebook.
Me too. I just weeded them out a couple of weeks ago. I said, I don't know these people. But did find that you are his friend on Facebook. But I again will say that doesn't mean anything.
Friends and I've got 5,000 friends. I'm at my limit, and I've got a waiting list. So I mean, you know,
So my question is:
you can't correspond with folks. Can't correspond with folks without engaging. And so anyway.
All right. So this goes back to January, and there were only a couple of posts on this webpage, and it just kind of shriveled up, and nobody really posted anything. Right. But you did post. Right. Your post was, and we had it in our news. There are certainly many more current opportunities on the African continent than on the North American. What did you mean by that?
Yes. Well, I don't remember making this post, but I will tell you this much. Prior to that, several years prior, I had considered moving to Nigeria for other opportunities. I have friends that have done that. There are opportunities simply because they are an emerging economy. And so I think I was trying to basically slap the guy back without really being, you know, mean about it. What he said is clearly not right. But the simple fact of the matter is, I am, you know, and I think a lot of folks are feeling a bit repressed. We've got a lot of regressive fees and taxes that we're faced at, with from not only the local level but the federal and state as well. Look at our state government right now, for crying out loud. They're gonna force another tax upon us, and what a mess. You know, it's just. I think that's basically what I was trying to get at.
So, Kevin, you are only one of two members of this group. How did you become a member of the group?
To be quite frank, Scott, I don't remember. I don't know. It may have been something this guy suggested. It may have been something he forced me on to. I don't know. I have no idea.
Is there a way you can take? I don't. You know, I know so little. I barely know how Facebook works.
Yeah, you can always unfriend or unlike or unfollow a page.
I can. You know, I hate to do that when it's brought, you know, to the media and people want to look at it. Look at it. You know, I did not intend for this to be racially charged at all. But the simple fact of the matter is, we are, you know, holding ourselves back in a lot of ways, and that's basically what I was trying to get at with the guy. So I don't agree with him at all, but I also don't agree with many of the things that go on in our government that really hold a lot of us back. And I can see it. That's why I got involved.
All right. Wanted to get your side of it.
Bloomington mayoral candidate Kevin Lauer with Scott Walkland. Among those offering reaction to Lauer's comment was president of the Bloomington Normal NAACP, Quincy Cummings, who took time to talk with WJBC's Sam Wood.
Quincy, you know, I know you haven't had a whole lot of time to spend on this, but your immediate reactions to this, what are you thinking?
Well, I think it's disappointing, mm-hmm. You know, especially with somebody who's been on the council and was on the council at the time that comment was made. Yeah. You know, someone who is currently running for mayor of Bloomington, and I was actually surprised. You know, I've had a few conversations with Kevin, and I never thought that I would see something like that. So when I was made aware of that this morning, I was really disappointed. You know?
Well, that's the thing, and there's a lot of the comments we're getting on Facebook from defenders of Alderman Lauer is that, well, okay, he was posting and a member of a racist Facebook group, but what Kevin said wasn't racist. I mean, they've been trying to skew it in one way, what Kevin was talking about. And again, to reframe this, the comment Kevin had made was, there are certainly many more current opportunities on the African continent than on the North American. And that was in response to a Facebook post suggesting that African Americans could escape racism by moving to the land of the ancestors. And that's just a snippet of some of the derogatory posts on this Facebook group, of which Kevin is one of just two members. There's two members of this group. One of them is Kevin. The other one is this guy that made this post. So,
that should tell you that he shouldn't belong to it, right?
And there's the thing. And that's the other question is that, well, maybe he just belongs to this group. He doesn't agree with these views. He's just a member of the group. Somebody added him. What do you say to that?
Well, I want to address this the post that he made as far as opportunities. I want to know what kind of opportunities there are on the African continent that are not here. There's definitely not any opportunity to escape racism. Mm-hmm. You know, Africa is still reeling from centuries of colonialism and that. So I don't understand, you know, what he means by that. I'd like to get more context around that. Mm-hmm. You know, and if it's something that was being said that was tongue-in-cheek or, you know, meant to be sarcastic or a joke, you know, the best thing he could have done was just to back away from that, because nothing that you can say in response to that is ever going to come out right. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing. And I think that, what was the other part of your question?
As far as, the context of it is that, and I mentioned this to you, is that Kevin had said that he was speaking about economic opportunities.
Economic opportunities.
So do you think that his comment, just looking at this in context, was racially motivated?
I don't know if it was racially motivated. I mean, he'd be the one to, you know, if he was willing to be honest about it, be the one to say it, but it certainly comes across that way.
Right.
You know, I it almost seems as though he was co-signing the person that made the initial reply. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if he wanted to show that he wasn't in support of it, either you don't participate in that or, you know, you make that comment that, you know, starts to sway that conversation to, you know, somewhere else, you know, somewhere else. But, you know, again, you know, we're looking at, you know, a candidate that's running for mayor, mm-hmm. you know, and, you know, we have to, you know, pay attention to those kind of things. I know that was said 3 years ago, but, you know, I mean, I don't know. And maybe this might be something to poll the voters with. I mean, is this the thing that he has done that might have lost him the race? Mm-hmm. You know, this is something that maybe the community might need to weigh in on. But, you know, it goes to when you have a position like that, you have to be careful about what you say on social media. I have a social media page myself, mm-hmm. and, you know, and I try to be very careful about what I say and how I say it. And so that's the part of it that is just really disappointing, you know. You know, when I think about, you know, but, oh, gosh. You know, it was an incredibly, let's say, unsmart move, you know, for him to do that. I certainly hope that he doesn't espouse those beliefs. Mm-hmm. You know, I think you said something about he was wanting to go over to Africa to find some economic opportunities for himself.
He mentioned that he was looking at Nigeria as a possible economic venture.
Really? To do what?
Right, and that's the thing. That's just what hurts me about it, is that in this comment, you know, regardless of what's happening to the fact that they're not replying to the group that suggests that he to Africa, besides all of that, if he's going to comment, there are certain
day.
Thank you. State posted 4-day Wednesday that will be for the football players' football skills.